want you to believe that the kingdom of darkness is all nice and they have affairs and marriages like the rest of us. Well, the problem is we're becoming like the kingdom of darkness. Hello, somebody. What's happening is we're mesmerized by these attitudes and these shows and these books and these things, these spirits, really. But we live in a country, listen carefully, where we're threatened more and more with our liberties being taken away, while we have an administration that we need to pray for that continually supports those who are against Israel. Now, I'm not going to get all political this morning, but we need to understand the times we are living in, all right? And God, all through his word, warns us what will happen to a country or a nation that doesn't serve him. Why do we think that this country would be any different? I'm just going to say this because this will help us understand how important it is for you and I to live supernaturally. Because what ends up happening, because we don't believe that we can live supernatural lives by the power of God's Holy Spirit, what we do is when we vote with the natural mind. When we think with the natural mind, because we really, please listen carefully, we really don't believe that God has our best interests in mind. We think that a man can take better care of us, and that is so far from the truth. Especially a man or government, if you will, administration that really doesn't believe in the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, the God and the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, God is a pretty general term nowadays. It really is. And if we don't think so, yesterday we just had a wonderful memorial service for a young lady who passed away just months shy of her 94th birthday. Some of you were here yesterday. We celebrated the going home of our beloved Dee. Had many great talks with her. But even in my 54 years, what I've seen, but what she saw and what's happened in this country is really, we have fallen so far away from God. All right? Now, this is not what my message is about, but we need to understand how vital it is before I can get into this message. We can't just play church anymore. Hello, somebody. We cannot just play church. We need to become the church of Jesus Christ. And the only way we become the church of Jesus Christ is to start living from a supernatural perspective. And realize that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. That is true. But Jesus did not come so we could get together, sing Kumbaya, and have potluck dinners. That is not why Jesus came. If we think that Jesus came and gave his life for that, we are so far off. Jesus came to bring a kingdom, to establish the kingdom of heaven. And guess what? You and I get to establish it. But we need to understand what that means. And we've got to think like God. And we've got to realize that God is bigger than anything I face. God is greater than anything I'm going through. God is gooder. Say, that's not a word. It is now because I'm preaching. God is gooder than anything that I am going against or that is coming against me at this very moment. And we've got to believe that because, listen, if we don't now, what are we going to do when it gets really bad? People say, well, Pastor, are you a doom and gloom preacher? Absolutely not. The darker it gets, the lighter we shine. Hello, somebody. Listen, darkness can only grow at the rate that light ceases. Hello, somebody. Darkness doesn't move. As a matter of fact, you've all heard about the speed of light. Darkness has no speed. Hello, somebody. Darkness just is where light doesn't shine. As soon as light enters, darkness is gone. When things are getting dark, it's because the church is not doing her job. Come on, somebody, this is good preaching. We're not doing our job. So, well, Pastor, what does that mean? We're going to talk about that over the next few weeks as we get into the series. You and I have got to believe that Jesus came, empowered us, and imparted his spirit into us, not only to have church, but to be the church, and to be an extension, and to live life the way not only Jesus lived, but the early church, and many people who are grabbing this concept around the world are living this way today. And listen, if you want to be part of this end time harvest, the way God wants us to be, you and I need to understand this. And this is really, as a church, we've got to realize this, that we were made for supernatural things. Mark 16, 17, it says this. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. This is Jesus speaking right before his ascension. He said, in my name they will cast out demons. Say, that's me. Say, that's me. Look at the person next to you. Say, that's you. Look straight ahead and say nothing at all. That's easier. Look at the person next to you. Say, that's you. Say, that's me. All right. Jesus said, in my name, you and I will do this. It says, they will speak with new tongues. Say, what is that, Pastor? That's speaking in your prayer language. as well as having a tongue in a native language of somebody else, getting an interpreter. God uses all those things, and we're going to get through the Bible and look at some things so we understand. People say, well, Pastor, do you believe in speaking in other tongues? Absolutely. Until I learned English, it was another tongue to me, and I didn't know what I was saying. Sometimes I still make up words. You saw that this morning. All right. But we're so afraid of some things the Bible talks about. But understand, that's nothing more than a gift of the Spirit. And we're not going to talk a lot about that this morning, but we will before this message is over. Because listen, you need to believe in a baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches it, and we teach it. But Jesus said in my name, they'll cast out demons, they'll speak with new tongues, they'll take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, don't bring snakes next week. We are not going to put this to the test. All this means is do not be afraid. All right? Do not be afraid. It says, but if you drink anything deadly, it will not harm you. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now listen, and you don't answer this, because I just want us to think about it. If that describes my life, hallelujah. If that doesn't describe my life, if we take this to heart, sometime between now and the end of this series, that will be your life. Because that is what Jesus, that was a good amen. Who was that? Was that Michelle back there somewhere? That sounded like, there's Michelle. I didn't see her, but I said, that's Michelle's voice. I can recognize that. It's true. It's true. It's true. John 14:12, listen. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Now, some of us didn't know that was in the Bible. Some people say, Jesus said greater? Yeah, Jesus said that. Say, what does that mean? Everybody look at me. You're going to get an English lesson this morning. It means greater. All right? Some people say, well, that means more in number because the church is, yeah, that's true. Greater because, you know, there's more of us. That's true. But listen, when Jesus says greater, how many believe he means what he says? All right. The Bible says that the latter rain will be greater than the former rain. So the Bible is telling us, it's a prophecy in Joel and other places, but Joel is a good place. He's telling us about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He is saying, and so many people say, well, you know, that praying in tongues, laying hands on the sick, that went away with the apostles, the early apostles. They're still apostles, by the way. Sometimes I feel like I'm an apostle to Traverse City, I got to tell you. I'm not saying I am. Don't call me apostle. Just call me Tony. If I'm your pastor, you can call me pastor, but I'm Tony. And we're going to talk about what an apostle means here this morning. It's to change the way people think. Really, that's what an apostolic calling is. All right? But the thing is, God has called us, and the Bible says that the outpouring of God's Spirit will be greater than it was when we read about it in the book of Acts. People read about it in the book of Acts and say, well, that was for them, but not for us. We have got things backwards. That's part of the problem. Backwards. Let's just say upside down. There was a singer probably 20 years ago had a song about living upside down. Wayne Watson, I think, did a song talking about living life upside down. Because we do. We really, really do. We have got to believe that God wants to move in our lives, my life and your life, greater. Say greater. In these last days, in a supernatural way. Jesus in John 18:36, we're not going to turn there, but he said in John 18:36 that my kingdom is not of this world. So to understand the kingdom of heaven, we can't look at this world and try to understand it. We cannot understand it with our natural mind. We have got to allow the Spirit of God to really translate the truth so we understand what God wants to do through our lives. We're called to live supernatural lives. The problem is we are looking at the natural and we are so tuned out of the supernatural that it's not even funny. 2 Corinthians 4:18, listen to what it says. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary. That chair you're sitting in is going to burn up. Not today, I don't think. Well, I know not today because we don't have time to get into the prophecies, but Jesus has got to rule and reign here in this earth for 1,000 years before the earth is burned up. People say, well, the earth is going to burn up and the earth is going to blow up. At least not for 1,000 years. Come on, somebody. I mean, it's the truth. But Jesus is coming back way before then. I do believe we're at the very door of Jesus' return. People say, well, we just got to take care of Mother Earth. I say, yes, we do. She's not my mother, but yes, we do have to take care of her. All right? But we're just so, we're just fanatical, and we sometimes I read sometimes, and I'm sorry if you're a scientist or whatever, and you believe this way. I'm just telling you, I read some of that harebrained stuff in light of God's truth, and I go, what were they thinking? I think they were smoking something I was smoking 30 years ago. I'm serious. Some of this stuff. Well, the conditions are right in 15. This is the latest report. The conditions are right some 15 billion light years away. At 6% of what we saw out there, we believe has intelligent life on it. And I said, I hope they're not looking at us because we are not intelligent life. I mean, there's so much speculation in these things that we call the truth, and it's a joke. I'm sorry, but it is. The heavens declare the glory of God. The stars speak of his magnificence. There's no question. When you look at it in light of that, they tell a story. When you look at it to disprove it, you are just ignorant. And I mean that with all due respect, at least as much as I can give. Because some of the things we teach in school and some of the things we think are true are so far out there, it's not even funny. And God tells us from his word. We were just looking at Noah on Wednesday, so I'm not going to talk about that. Come this Wednesday, we're going to talk more about Noah. That's just one time that, you know, people want to say, well, it was the glaciers that did this and the ice age that did that, and another ice age is coming and the earth is going to freeze over, then it's going to blow up. Listen, you know what? No, it's not. No, it's not. God told us how the end would come. He told us all about it. And that's not how it's going to happen. He never told us there was an ice age, but he did tell us about a worldwide flood. And we say, well, that could never happen. But we say an ice age could. Why? Because it happened so many millions of years ago. We remove. I mean, come on. Now, I know I'm off my notes, but you got to understand, when we live that way, we will not live supernatural. We won't. The most supernatural we'll have in our lives is when we turn on the Twilight series. Come on. I'm telling you the truth. Say, what's wrong with the church in America? I've been telling you for 10 minutes. That's the problem. Jesus said, greater works you'll do than I've done. And we don't believe it. The spirit realm is more real than the natural realm. All right? The spirit realm is more real than the natural realm. We need to train ourselves to see things from a kingdom perspective. And this series, we're going to take our time on this. We might be on this a couple of months. I don't know. Maybe longer. I don't know. But we've got to realize that we have got to start to think from a kingdom perspective. You got to start to think from a kingdom perspective if you're facing some disease or something in your body, some sickness, some weakness. You've got to think from a kingdom mentality if you're facing a financial opportunity or even a crisis. Listen, I've faced some financial crises before. Perhaps many of you have. Let me tell you something. God will get you out. He will. No, I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what you face today. So we want to say, well, Pastor, you don't understand what I'm going through. You're right, I don't, but God does, and he's got the answer, and he will never leave you, and he will never, 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 never forsake you. And we got to believe that. Because when we don't believe it, we're in trouble, and we already are, by the way. I just talked about it for 10 minutes. Because we don't. We believe that there's life, intelligent life, 15 billion miles away, and that's 6% of what we found because they're red stars, and we don't really know what red stars are, but we're pretty sure there's life on them, at least 6% of what we found, if it's there, because it's 15 billion light years away, and we really don't know what's happening 15 billion light years away. Oh, my goodness. We believe it. Let's give them more millions of dollars and trillions of dollars. Listen, I'm not trying to just... Yes, I am. I'm not trying just to slam everything that our scientific community is doing, but they are wasting our money. If we would tell, oh, please, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. If we would take that money and start to pursue God, help me, somebody. Could you imagine? This country wouldn't be facing what we're facing, the financial struggles we're facing. We are not the power we used to be. I don't know if anybody got up today and realized that. The United States of America is not what she used to be. And it's changing by the minute. And I'm not a politician. I'm a pastor. But I know that I cannot go to sleep at night if I don't talk about what is going on in this country. We are so far from God. We have walked away from God. Throughout the course of this series, we'll talk probably a little bit about that because we need to wake up. Because God is warning this country, but we're ignoring it. We're spending more time finding red stars that we think life exists on. We don't know for sure, but if we get there in 15 million years, if they're still there, 6% of what we think we see. Read the articles. I'm not exaggerating the truth. If you ever read it, it's like, are you kidding me? And my tax dollars are going to this? Hello. But you're going to tell me I can't have a gun? Hello. And listen, I don't have a gun, by the way, and I'm not an NRA supporter. But that's just like the one other thing that's going on. And we're like, well, I think I'll go watch Twilight series. I think I'll watch Supernatural on TV. Deet, 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 deet. Sheep led to the slaughter. Help me. It is, and I'm not trying to criticize anybody, but we have got to get a hold of this. We are so, and we think, well, God can't help me with my money problems. How can he help the United States of America? We don't even think like it. We just, all we see is our problem because God's not bigger than our problem. Because we're not looking at supernatural. We are looking at the natural. And we're thinking where our checkbook ends, my life is over. Listen to me. Where your checkbook ends, God begins. Sometimes we need to get to the end of ourselves. Help me. When will we learn? When will we wake up? Oh, gosh. Here's what Jesus desires for you and me. Ephesians 1:9. Paul the Apostle said, having made known to us the mystery of his will, that's God's will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, we need to become accustomed to living life by spiritual gauges. He's telling us here that he has made known to us the mystery of his will. Let me just say a couple things about that. First of all, God wants us to know what his will is. People say, well, I don't know what the will of God is. God wants you to know, so find out. How are you going to do that? First of all, come to a church like this. Get in a small group, pray, read your Bible. Believe me, God wants to speak. God is speaking more than we hear him. And that's the truth of it. That is the truth. So he wants us to know his will. But the other thing we can realize here is, listen, there has got to be a little bit of mystery. God's revealing his mystery, but you cannot live a supernatural life if you don't have just a little bit of mystery. And here's what's happened. For one thing, the church has turned away from God, just like the rest of this country. The other thing that we've done is we have taken the mystery out of knowing God. First, we really don't think he exists, but then the little bit that we think he does exist, we think we figured out. And so what we've done is we've taken God's will and mystery completely out of the equation, and we just go watch another Twilight movie. Come on, somebody, help me out. This is what's going on in the church in this country for the most part. Now, there are pockets where people are living differently, even here in Traverse City. But I want to see us all live this way. I want to see the church of Jesus Christ become glorious. So you got to believe there's a little bit of mystery. You got to believe, look, Lord, I know that you're showing me your will. You've revealed it by your word. I believe you, and you're continuing to work in my life. But there's a lot I don't know, and I can't wait to find out. That's how you need to live. And then you start to listen to the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit of God says, I want you to go pray for that person over there. When the Spirit of God says, I want you to go over here and intercede. The Spirit of God says, I want you to skip lunch today and pray for so-and-so. Remember, we just fasted for 21 days. God's teaching us something, people. If you never fast again this year, you missed it. You missed it. We just got off a 21-day fast, and we fasted more this week. I'm not saying that to brag. I ate, too. I didn't fast all week. But we can't just do it once. Hear me out on this. But he wants us to know his will, but we got to live with mystery and realize that God is bigger than I am. See, what's going on is it's something, maybe you've heard of this. It's called spatial disorientation. Spatial disorientation. Now, if you've ever, if you've studied anything about becoming a pilot or getting a license, or maybe you've taken some flying lessons, you know what this is. If not, you've probably never heard it, but let me explain the concept. As a pilot, you learn not to trust your mind's perceptions when you're flying through severe weather. You learn how to fly according to your instruments, all right? Because when you get into severe weather, as a pilot, and I'm not a pilot, I was just reading on this, and I have friends who are pilots, and this is absolutely true. You're in severe weather, and all you see is clouds. You see nothing, barely the tip. I mean, everybody, have you ever been driving in really dense fog? It's worse than that. You can't see nothing. And they teach you to trust your instruments, listen carefully, because automatically when you cannot see, your body and your mind will start to tell you that you're upside down. And so what has happened is either with faulty instruments or a pilot is just freaked out and not paid attention to those instruments, they think they're upside down. So what do? They turn themselves over and lift right into the ground. Because they think they've turned right side up. But you know, that's how we're living. We've got to learn to trust our instincts. We've got to learn to trust the Word of God. We've got to learn to trust the Spirit of God when all hell is breaking loose around us. And listen, people, it is. Why? Because the church ain't pushing it back. That's why. We've got to trust our spiritual instruments and fly according to what the Word of God tells us, not according to what we feel. Some people say, well, Pastor, I know the Bible says I should tithe, but I don't feel like we can. Let me pray for you, because you should get over that. Well, I know the Bible says that we should be part of the body of Christ and everybody does their share, but we can't. Well, then the rest of us will just keep working harder and we'll do less. Well, I know, Pastor, the Bible says that we'll do greater things than Jesus, but I just can't. You're right. You can't. But you could. When we start to believe what the Bible says. John 8:39, Jesus answered them and he said, Abraham is your father, Jesus said to them. If you were Abraham's, Abraham is our father, Jesus said to them. If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Now he was confronting the religious people of his time. And I'm not calling you religious. I'm just saying this is a great example of that Jesus is teaching us of the way people live. We do the deeds of our fathers. Now, what does that mean? We do the deeds of the things that we've either learned or grown accustomed to as we go through whatever trial it is we're going through. And we start to develop, really, this group, if you will, or we start to develop core values, all right, of what it is we believe. It's as simple as this. You take a little child, and they're playing in the kitchen. You got the burner on, all right? And you say, stay away from that burner. Okay, mommy, 2-3 years old, playing. They're over there again. Stay away from that burner, honey. You're going to burn your hand. Okay, mommy. And they're playing. Next thing you know, you're in the other room. Ah! What happened? They got close to that burner. Now, they didn't listen to you the first two times, but how many know they heard you the third time? All right? You realize, look, if I get close to that burner, I will burn my hand. So what we learn is I went through a circumstance, this is what happened, therefore God's word cannot be true. And we develop and start to live according to the deeds, if you will, of our fathers. Let me look at another verse that will help us out. John 14:10. Just looking at some concepts this morning of how the kingdom of heaven, how the spiritual realm works. Do you not believe that I am in the Father, Jesus speaking again, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. You know, the works in your life will speak louder than the words that you speak. Jesus said, if you don't believe what I'm saying, at least believe for the work's sake. All right? We all live out of core values that really have been instilled to us through our fathers, whether they're taught or learned through circumstance. These are the resources we live our lives out of. And so we need to start to examine the Word of God, become more sensitive to the Spirit of God, and start to trust our spiritual instruments and start to live accordingly rather than what we've learned, rather than what we have known. 1 Peter 1:18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless... I love this scripture because this describes my life to a T before I got saved. I had aimless conduct. I had no idea where I was going, and I was getting there everywhere because I had no idea. I was just going somewhere. All right. Aimless conduct. Received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus as a lamb without blemish and without spot. See, God has redeemed us from corruptible thinking that we learned from our natural parents. Now, I'm not criticizing your parents. I'm just talking in general. We have learned from our forefathers, and therefore we have learned these things. Jesus is saying, or Peter is writing here by the Holy Spirit, and saying, you have been redeemed from that aimless conduct. You know, you can be living your life, working a job, making money, even saving it, even giving a little bit away, and you can still be living an aimless life. Do you realize that? If you didn't ask God to partner with you and find out what his will was exactly for your life, you are aimless at best. You and I need to learn how to do what God is calling us to do. And we're going to take, again, this is an introduction today. We're going to get this over the next few weeks, a couple of months that we get into this. Realizing that, look, the way I see things by the natural man is not the truth most of the time. All right? Listen here. This will help you out too. Matthew 6:22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And so Jesus is talking about examining ourselves. Matter of fact, he says, how can you complain about your brother who has, let's just say, a speck of sawdust in his eye, and you have a 2x4 or plank in your own eye? We need to examine ourselves and align ourselves with what God's eyes see. It says in Psalm somewhere that he guides us with his eye. We need to see things from a kingdom perspective. We need to allow ourselves to let God's word and spirit start to help us to see things from the kingdom of heaven. And that's what Jesus is showing us. He's saying, look, if you have a light in your eye, your whole body will be full of light. But if you have darkness, how great is that darkness? We must realize that God always has the best in mind for us. This is important. We have to realize that God always has the best in mind for us and that he's working in us to accomplish his will and release the kingdom of heaven through our lives. We have to, I don't care what we're going, you might have got up today crabby. Say, how do you know, Pastor? Because I do too sometimes. But you have got to believe, get up and say, okay, crabby, I'm going to shake you off because God is working in me to will and do his good pleasure. And so today I am more than a conqueror. I'm just crabby for the moment. And don't let the devil get in and say, that's it, you lost your salvation. No, you did not. You've got to start to believe that God has the best in mind. Listen, Jesus paid the ultimate price so that you could live the ultimate life. Come on, somebody. Jesus paid the ultimate price so that you could live the ultimate life. Now, I'm not saying that I'm an apostle. I'm a pastor, all right? That, I believe, is my call. Fivefold ministry, I'm a pastor. I believe God can use every one of us in an office for a period of time. And because I believe that, I think that we can all, and really the church has an apostolic call on her. Now, there are apostles. We believe in the fivefold ministry. We'll talk more about that at another time. But the thing I want us to get right now is you and I, as Christians, are really called to be apostles, if you will, to the world. Be apostles to the rest of the world. Let me explain to you. Jesus borrowed the word apostle from the Roman language, all right? I'm not going to try to pronounce the word because it really doesn't matter. But the word that we translated in our Bibles as apostle was actually borrowed from the Romans. And an apostle was a general who was charged with the task of reforming the culture of the nations that Rome conquered. They were to teach the conquered nation the ways, the rules, and the customs of Rome. If that doesn't speak to you, I don't know what will. That's why we're called apostles. We are called to live. We read it in Mark chapter 16 when we started. In my name, remember that? All right. We are called to establish the thoughts, the rules, and the customs of heaven. That's what we are called to do. But you know, we can't do that by watching Twilight one more time. I'm not picking on Twilight. I just happen to see that they're showing that movie just about every night this week on a particular radio or TV station. I didn't watch it because I don't care to. There's plenty of other things out there just as bad or worse. The point is, we're fascinated with the supernatural as a society, yet we shun the true supernatural, which is living a life that we're talking about. We need to live our lives from a different set of rules or core values. Values and truths that line up with the kingdom of heaven. And I don't have time to go any further today, so I'm going to stop right there. We'll talk more about this next Sunday. Listen, you and I have got to start to think differently. We've got to start to live differently. We've got to live in freedom and power. You believe that this morning? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God today. I thank you that it has been sown into these good hearts and lives, and that today, Lord God, you are speaking to us by your magnificent Spirit. Today, I pray that the Spirit of God would just come alive in us like never before, that we would stop living complacent lives, and that you would spur us on to greatness in every area by your Spirit. Now, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to pray for you. If you want to know that you're born again, on your way to heaven, we want to pray for you. You may be sitting here today and say, Pastor, I don't know that. I have doubt in my mind. I'm not asking you to join this church. That's not what this is. We're just asking if we can pray for you so you can receive the gift of Jesus Christ and salvation from him. So if you're here today and say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm on my way to heaven. I want to know and I want to pray that prayer. I want to pray with you. On the count of three, I want to see your hand. Say, Pastor, pray with me. One, two, three. Lift your hand up. Everyone's born again. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and look this way. If you're a first-time guest with us, we have something we call a welcome brochure.